The perek starts, perek beis, very, very interesting. Starts with Naomi advising Ruth about a shidduch. First, she uses a very interesting lashon. She says, "Vatoymel Naomi chamoisa biti alo yavakish loch monoyach asheitav loch." I'm looking for a monoyach. Monoyach means like to rest, right? Menucha, lashon menucha. So it is true that the concept of a shidduch is considered menucha. To have an Ezra taka here in his Pirush on Ruth, he taka is oimin on the word menoyach. He says that a woman doesn't have menucha at shor shetinose. So there is such a concept. There's a concept by a man that way also. That a person has menucha after they're married. But it's definitely an interesting lashon. Instead of her using a regular traditional language, I'm looking for a husband for you. Looking for a menoyach. It's like a strange... It's true that once somebody gets married, that's one of the elements that are accomplished to have that element of menucha. It's not normally the way you would describe marriage. That's like the smallest problem here. That's not the big problem. That's the little problem. The bigger problem is we're dealing here with a Godel Hador. Boaz was a Godel Hador. Okay? We're trying to make a shidduch with a Godel Hador between him and a Gieris, right? Who just came from Moav. First of all, generally, a Godel Hador marries a daughter from a Godel Hador. It's more typical. But let's assume that this is not typical. You're dealing here with a woman that, according to most of the generation at the time, was not, you weren't allowed to marry her. It was just the Schadish the Halacha, the new Halacha. Moyavi v'loy Moyavis, Amoini v'loy Amoinis. It was something that was just the Schadish. Obviously, it's been around for many years, but it was unknown. It was unknown. And Boaz, when he spoke to Ruth, he told her, "You came to a nation that didn't know you mitmol shulshan yesterday or the day before, because Chazal tell us, if you would have come 2 or 3 days ago, we wouldn't have even had the drosha of Mayavi v'loy Mayavis." Obviously, the drosha was so fresh and unknown and unaccepted that Pliny Almoini refused to marry Ruth for that reason. Right? So, basically, you're being Matziah Shirich to the God Lador, or Gieris that, according to many, you're not allowed to marry. Right? So you call up Reb Chaim Knievsky, right? You have a shidduch for him, a 40-year-old Syrian Gieris, who you misupik if she's a Gieris or she's an Amalekis or something else, and you want to matzia the shidduch. First of all, get your head examined. But forgetting that, so we're already dealing with this is a nes. If you look at the Meshiv Nefesh from the Bach, I have a Meshiv Nefesh. The Meshiv Nefesh from Bach, he says, this is the famous Bach that we have in the tour. The Bach says as follows. He says, "Dover zeim li shachar leini hagoyim." There's no daylight to anybody would see such a thing, Boaz marrying Ruth. The Shofet Yisrael, Shehoyah b'b'chinas melech, he was a king, like a king, the Gam Godel b'Torah, the Rosh Sanhedrin, Yitain Einov b'giyeres v'yahadar achar elisayza. So the whole idea was a little bit, if I was Ruth, I'd be looking at my mother-in-law and saying, lady wake up and smell the coffee. Okay? Call Eisha Teira and find out. Maybe they have over there a Sofik Mamza. Sofik Mamza. That is a Pesahetta, that some, that Rav Zilberstein wrote a Pesahetta for this guy. Oh, perfect. A good heter, this guy is not so posh, he can't find Shaduchim, but he found up it's from a row of a heter. And you have the heter of a Mayavi Veloy Mayavis, and now we'll make a Shikul Shidduch. That will make sense. We'll move together in some kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a bunch of other interesting people. It's a Tana Yom Tov. Gewaldig. But you don't go to Rechov Rashbam, to Reb Chaim Knievsky. That's not where you go shopping for a shidduch. But that's what Nomi tells him. Okay, so. Whatever. Whatever pshatin that is. Obviously, Nomi was a lot smarter than we are. Because her idea did work. Then, so at least let's try. You know what? Let's think about this. Let's think about this. Let's get another Gadol HaDor. Maybe we could go into Reb Nissim Karelitz. We could plead our case in front of Reb Nissim Karelitz. Reb Nissim Karelitz has shtickle mishpacha with Reb Chaim. And he'll go with a whole delegation, Reb Aaron Leib Steinemann, and they'll go together to Reb Chaim. And they'll try to persuade him. No, I have a much better idea. In the middle of the night, you should climb in from the back window. See, he wakes up and he goes, what's going on here? And he says, what do you mean? I'm here to marry you. Shalom aleichem. What do you show my what in the world is going on here? If Boaz would have been interested for some wild reason before, why in the world would he be interested now? I mean, imagine you guys being lazy in a shidduch. Some lady broke into your basement window. Your parents won't be very happy about that shidduch. Shalom aleichem, I'm here for shidduch. We tried with the shatchanim, it didn't work. So I broke in the alarm. I knew how to bypass the alarm. I can't. Shalom aleichem. I'm looking for a guy who's going to learn a kol for 20 years. Shkech. One of our sales I did was lazy signal. What's going on here? But this is Nomi's plan. Nomi's master plan is that Rus should basically invade some states in the United States of America. You could shoot that person. If Boaz had a shotgun handy, he could have made use of it. There are states like that. If a guy just comes onto your property, a man or woman, you can say L'chaim L'shalom. Lech Bisholim, Lisholim, right? Depending on the gills. But again, this is where this is Nomi's plan. It's not a B'dievet. This is Nomi's Lechatchila plan. This is the best idea. And Lamaisa, the idea worked. The idea worked. So obviously she knew what she was doing. Rus went along with it. Then we read the psukim, what she tells her to do. She says you should wear your bigdei Shabbos. V'samtzim loisayich. Chazal tells us this is the bigdei Shabbos. Rochatzt is from Avodah Zorah. Rochatzt from Avodah Zorah. Rus is Eved Avodah Zorah. Rus is a Giyaris, L'chol Adeyas, at this point for sure. If she wasn't a Giyaris, according to many of the Rishonim in the Zohar, before she married, she was Zecha Giyaris now. She was one of the best, one of the most Chashiv Giyaris. One of the reasons for reading Megillas Lusan Shuas, one of the many reasons, besides David HaMelech and the Yorkside, everything else, is that Klaisol Geirim B'Shas Matan Torah. So we read a Megillah which deals with one of the Geirat Tzedek in history. Rus HaMayavia. So why in the world is Nomi telling her that you should go put on your Big Day Shabbos and you should verachatz from Avodah Zorah? What's going on here? So I want to tell you a mahalach that's really built on from two Gaonei Olam. If you make a tziruf between them, so we can have a shtickle of pshat, it's mainly built on the Ramami Panu. But if we look in history, so we see that the Malchus Beis David always came about through complicated ways. Starts out with Yehuda and Tamar. That's the beginning of the birth of Malchus Beis David. Starts with Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar was a very compromised situation. Very compromised. Not even so posh at how the whole thing worked. Was it a daughter-in-law? Kaidim out in Torah? They were, the others were noyeg. They weren't noyeg. There was kiddushin. There wasn't kiddushin. Yibum, no yibum. Bas koyin. All kinds of complications over there. But that's how Malchus Beis David began. Right? The end is Yehuda took Tamar as in a somewhat of a compromised way. And from there began Malchus Beis David. That's the beginning. You go after that. What happens after Tamar? We have, of course, Boaz. Very interesting. Boaz is also very complicated. The way the whole thing happened. But that's not the end. Shlomo HaMelech. The Malchus of Shlomo. You think that was so passionate? So the Ramami Panu in the Sefer Asorim HaMoris, he talks about the whole complication. And he says as follows. He says, Tzeyu l'mad mirusa hamoyavia shaloi niskablo elo b'shas aniyeh umudeo shaloni. He says, look when she came. Ruth came, mamish, at the worst possible time when she embraced Klal Yisrael. Ume elef noshim shegir Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was Megayer 1,000 women. From all 1,000 years that he was Megayer, which one became the mother of Mashiach? Of the future Mashiach? Says the Ramami Panu, Loi niskablu mein lahamid malchus bi Yisrael o namo ha'amoynis. Noch ha'mo ha'amoynis. This is Mayavus, this is Amoynis. We can't get away from the compromises. From all the wives that Shlomo HaMelech was Megayer, the one that was chosen to be the mother of Mashiach was Namo Amoynis. She was Amoynis. But that's not it. V'nosa loy kishahoya b'dali dalas. Chazal tell us in the Midrash that Shlomo HaMelech married this woman when he was a pauper. See, he was also very low. He was low when he married her. She was a geiris from Amoin. He says, v'nimtza ba'agod, and it's found in the Midrash Chazal, she'oisa tovo. He says, she actually got... She drowned. V'dag bolo. The Elima min Olam, Shalik Shonim. It's Nerv Oyim, what went on here. Did this woman that he married in his worst time, she was a Giyaris from Amun, then she disappeared, she was swallowed by a fish, and then, the Nitra for Daitoi, V'achakach Richem Olavakodesh Boru, V'nizdamin Lufnei Melech Amun, V'nasaloi Melsi, he became like a Shlomo HaMelech in his low time, during this time, he was a waiter. And then, that's when Nama got connected to him, involved with Glishneim, and Ayin and Eyal. Nervoyim. The Ramami Panu brings out that the Malchus Beis David came from such a type of compromises. Halachic compromise is not really halachic, but questionable consequences and situations. Economic problems. Everything is to schmettert. Now, if we look in Chazal, Chazal say that David HaMelech says, Pitachto l'moyseloi. So Chazal tell us, what does it mean, Pitachto l'moyseloi? This is found also in the Gemara in Yevamah, Mustafai and Zion. Omar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Shalom, Shnei moyseloi shoyu alai patachtom. Usa moyavio v'namo ha-moynis. So David HaMelech says there were two locks, literally obstacles, for me being able to produce Melech HaMashiach. One of them came before me, one of them came after me. Ruach Hanamo. So David HaMelech is already, according to Chazal, alluding to the fact that there were locks against Malchus Beis David that had to be overcome. So I'm not going to talk to you more. My dichsiv rabbi is a sisa at Hashem lo kind of loisecho machshav loisecho. And he goes through all of the inyanim that David HaMelech went through. It's not a volume. So there's a Kabbalistic answer to these questions and to these points that the Ramami Panu is making. But there's really also a simple answer. And this will also give us clarity why we read Megillus Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. What's the connection? Kabbalistically speaking, I'll be Kabbalah, the Mekubolim say that because Malchus Beis David is such an elevated thing, the higher the thing, the more kitrug there is. The more there's a prosecution team that's busy prosecuting against it happening. The more hush of the thing is, the more there's prosecutions against it. And that's why the Sifrei Kabbalah explain that Malchus Beis David, which is the tachlis of the ultimate tachlis, has the most makatrigim against it. So therefore, what they call is there's like a bone thrown to the sultan. Yavi, the Gansamaisa with Yehuda. These types of things are there to take away the kitrik. Like you say, to take away the Ayin Hora. Take away the kitrik. But the truth is, there's a different idea, I think, that's being conveyed. And this is very important. It's a big source of chizik for Klal Yisrael, for Torah. It's a tremendous source of chizik. We tend to always focus, when it comes to Ruchnius, on the challenges. You see this all the time. Gashmius, people are ready to conquer the world when it comes to Gashmius. You go to the average 15-year-old, 20-year-old, they think they could conquer the world. They could be very unrealistic about what they could accomplish from a Gashmius standpoint. How many people here have a plan to make $60,000 a year for the rest of your life? I don't think there's even one. It's a sham. Companies, mice, restaurants. Right? We're going to conquer the world. Right? There's this challenge, there's that challenge. Yeah, we'll overcome it. Like if Shalom Shagran always said over from the Rabchatskul Sarner. I heard this when I was a young boy. It made such an impact on me, such an emes of art. He said there was a bacher in Chevron. He was a Mitzuyan. Shalom Shagran was from the early Talmidim in Chevron in Eretz Yisrael. He says, there was a boy in the yeshiva who was a Mitzuyan. But he decided shortly before he started Shidduchim that he's going to go out to get a job. He felt that he's Parnassa. But it wasn't because he wasn't so into learning or he wasn't so accomplished. Adarab, he was a Mitzuyan Gomer. But he came in to get Rishus from the Rosh Yeshiva. He came in to get Rishus. So he went to Abchatskul. So Abchatskul Sarner says, I'm not getting you. Why do you need, what's the problem? Why are you leaving yeshiva? He said, I need panas. He said, why do you need panas? You know panas now? He says, listen, Rebbe, I plan to start shidduchim. Okay, so for starting shidduchim, you need panas. He said, listen, the Eved should help him. Start shidduchim, I'll find the right girl. He says, who says? Who says you'll find the right girl? Maybe there are bachelors out there. They're very smart bachelors out there. Capable people. Bali Kishman. Ed Koch. It's a very, very successful bachelor. Who says you're going to find a shidduch?
He says, Rebbe, what a, he's cursing me, Chas HaShalom, the Eibush, the B'ziyat of Ishmael, I'll find a Shidduch. He said, okay, sir, okay. Let's say you'll find a Shidduch. So what do you need Parnassah for? He says, listen, I'm not living with a wife alone. It's Hashem. We'll have family together. Family. Who says you have a family? Who says you'll have a family? He says, Rebbe, what's going on? I came here to get a bracha. The Eibishter, the Eibishter, the Kol Yachol. He's going to give me family. Okay. He says, Nusat, I need at least 20 shekel a week to survive. So he looks at me and says, so Zivug, which is Koshel Ozavgum Kekriyas Yamsuf, the Kol Yachol, he's going to find your Shidduch for you. And then, you're going to get married in Mitzvah Hashem. B'shatayv u'mitzlachas, the Eibishter. Moishev yichidim b'aisa. And then the mafteches, the biyodi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the piyarechem, he's going to give you children too. Und 20 shekel kanach nitgem. And 20 shekel he can't arrange for you those days. 20 shekel. 20 shekel a week he can't get you. You don't even know what it used to be. It wasn't 20 shekels, 20 lira those days. The old days. Okay. Several currencies ago. It was very powerful. I remember when I heard it from Shaul Shadron. What up? But you know what? It's a Musa Haskel. Because most of us live like that Talmud, whoever that was. Rightfully so, if Shaul Shadron didn't identify who it is. He did say that that Talmud stayed in Yeshiva and became a big Olam God. He didn't leave. And somehow he got his 20 shekel to survive. But what the impact it made on me is that it's so true that when it comes to Gashmius, we can overcome all challenges. In our mind, somehow we're gonna make it. David's gonna help. It's gonna work. How many times do we tell ourselves in Ruchnius and Yonim, we can't? Can't do it. Shas, it's too big. How can I learn Shas? Can't even finish Bava Basra. I'm having trouble with Saita. I can't. It's not possible. I thought you were going to be the billionaire of the century. The Eibush is going to help you. Well, why can't you finish Saita? Because that's the Koyach LiYetzer Hara. That every challenge in Ruchnius he blows up for you, and every challenge in Gashmius he makes like it's no problem. But the truth is, it's mamish v'nahapachu. The truth is that the siyata d'shmaya you have when you do Ratzon Hashem, there's no limit. There's no limit. Rabbi Yankov always used to say, v'shinantam l'vanecha mitzvah gans chayah, so that means Hashem will give you siyata d'shmaya to learn kol ha'Torah kula. He gives every Jew the mitzvah to learn kol ha'Torah kula. Hashem gives you that mitzvah. And if you're doing that mitzvah, you could turn to Hashem and you could demand. You can't demand $100,000 from Hashem, but you could demand, Hashem, teach me Kol HaTorah Kula. You commanded me to learn it. Teach it to me. You could demand Ruchnius from the Rabbi Yisrael. Respectfully. So Mamela, it's the other way around. Like I many times said in the Parsha Meraglim, the reason why Moshe told him according to the Zohar that if you see the big fruit in Eretz Yisrael, you'll get chizik. Why? Because the fruit in Eretz Yisrael grew better because they were there for Chumus and Maisvis. The mitzvahs tlius ba'aretz helped the fruit grow. So Moshe was telling the Meraglim, look at the fruit. If the fruit gets the Yatad Shemaya, I'll shame that they facilitate a mitzvah. Imagine the Yatad Shemaya you're going to have. I call it Siyata de Mitzvah. Siyata de Mitzvah is more than Siyata de Shemaya. Hashem's telling you to do it. You'll have Siyata de Shemaya. So that's the idea. Memela, the Rebbeinu Shalom took our very, very basic necessity, Malchus. Malchus, Melech HaMashiach, which is our tefillahs every day. Our hopes and aspirations of Gan's Klal Yisrael. What the Eibishter did was he put as many challenges in there as possible. As many challenges as it could be. And they were all overcome. And the Eibishter did that bedafka. He did that bedafka to show us that when it comes to what Klai Yisrael need, also Am Ruchni, nothing will stand in our way. Pitachta l'moyseloi. The Eibishter opens up all the locks. All the locks that you think stop you from being able to succeed, pitachta l'moyseloi. They will all get unlocked for you. Every single one will get unlocked. You know, I recently read a story, which is kedai to tell all of you. Unbelievable story. Rav Shlomo Lawrence, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Okay. He had a kever that he, for many years, in Har HaZeisim, that his family had. He had a kever there. Har HaZeisim is the holiest place to be buried. It's the oldest basic forest that we have already from times of the Tanoim. Some actually hold that the Nevi'im are buried over there. There's a cave there of the Nevi'im. It's old Pesach forest. It's obviously not as old as the Moros HaMachpelah, but it's very old. So if Shlomo Lawrence had a grave in Har HaZeisim, about a year before he passed away, he made a tzavoy. He changed the place where they should bury him. They should bury him in Har HaMenuchos. Har HaMenuchos is also a holy place. It's also Eretz Yisrael. There's many Gedolim buried in Har HaMenuchos. It's a chosh of a place. But it's not Har HaZeisim. So his children, if Shlomo Lawrence's children, asked him, why did he change his tzavoy? Now he was a tremendous tzaddik. But when I heard this story, I actually just read it recently, it made me have a whole new hasaga of what kind of Baal Chesed he was. He said that his life's chavrusa was another Adam Gadol, Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Simcha Wasserman was the son of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Right? How can you say the name Rav Elchanan without shaking? Rav Elchanan. The day doesn't go by in the basement, you don't say Rav Elchanan. If it's Yerim, if it's Aris, if it's Mamma, Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan's son, Rav Simcha, was nifter without children. Rachmana Litzlan. He had no children. Rav Lawrence said he didn't want that nobody should go to the caver as the years go by. Of course, you know, first yard side people come, it's a tzaddik. But as the years go on, person doesn't have children, who's going to come to the caver? He said, I want to be buried there so my children, when they come to my caver, will go to Rav Simcha. Could you imagine? He gave up his big menucha in Har HaZeisim, with Mashiach's going to come over there, they have a place, and got some ISIS. No. He's going to be buried, and he wants to be buried next to his chavrusa, so that when his chavrusa doesn't have children, at least when his children come to his yahrzeit, they will go also to the kever. So at least they'll have once a year a guaranteed visitors by the kever. He was nifter on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And Rav Simcha Wasserman was nifter years before on Beis Cheshvan. So that his kids, you're not supposed to minig of the Beis HaKvaros in Yerushalayim is you don't go on Rosh Chodesh. So that every single time it comes to his keva, they come to Rav Simcha's keva. Even the yard site worked out. And even though the yard site didn't work out, it worked out. That every single year when his coats go to his, they're actually going to Rav Simcha. What's fascinating is, they're going on Rav Simcha's yard site and not on their father's yard site. Could you imagine? Unbelievable. No revoyim! Where does that come from? Siyata de mitzvah. When Rav Shlomo Lawrence said, I'm giving up the caver that I have on Har HaZeisim, so my chavrusa should have visitors, Hashem came along and said, you started, I'll take care of it. Even the yard site's going to work out. Even the yard site's going to work out. And of course, your kids are going for your covet, so by you, even if it's the next day, it's not so bad. But for him, it's going to be on his yard site. That's called siyata de mitzvah.
So the Eibishter made it in the most obvious way. Melech HaMashiach, everybody knows. David HaMelech. We're all looking there. And then we look and we go, wow. Every possible obstacle was in the way, and it got overcome. So too, our success as individuals in Ruchnias, we're going to be able to overcome all the obstacles. And that's why we read Megillah Sirus on Shavuos. Person's Makabel Torah on Shavuos, he has to know all the obstacles that could possibly come in the way are going to be taken care of. How does this answer Nami and Bayaz? That's going to be tomorrow. But this answers that as well. Okay.
Is there such a thing as not giving a gedel?